It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This morning, we continue our series of interviews with candidates running for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District seat, which covers the southeastern part of the state. The seat is currently held by House Speaker Paul Ryan, who is retiring. Today, we're talking with Brian Stile, the Republican candidate in the race for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. Brian is an attorney and serves on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. Brian, welcome to the Morning Show.
John, thanks for having me on.
Why are you running for Congress?
I'm running because I think Washington needs problem solvers, people that go in and address problems head on, have open, honest conversations, and get things done. My background's in manufacturing and education. I think there's a real opportunity to take that skill set and background to Washington to work to lower the cost of health care, you know, increase wages and high-wage jobs for individuals here in southeast Wisconsin, and in particular with the background on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, prepare workers, you know, for the jobs of the future. Make sure that we have affordable, effective universities, technical schools, and strong high schools. And so that's what gets me up in the morning and gets me out the door on this race, running for Congress and talking to folks.
For better or worse, a lot of people see this not as a race to elect a new congressperson, but as a race to replace the current occupant of the seat, House Speaker Paul Ryan, who's retiring. So I think a lot of voters want to know, with you, are they getting a new candidate with new ideas or another Paul Ryan?
As I look at this race, everybody brings their own background to the table. I think my background's unique to me, unique to everyone in the race, and unique to Paul Ryan. And so, you know, I've worked for the past 10 years in the private sector for local manufacturing companies here in Rock County. I've been on the front line of decisions of addressing how do we lower the cost of health care and working towards high-wage jobs here in my home community of Janesville and across Rock County. And my work on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, I think that brings something new to the table, a true background in education, working hard to figure out how do we have affordable, effective universities and technical schools across this state to make sure that the workers are prepared for the jobs of the future and really able to try to move up that career ladder and to take advantage of some of these higher wage jobs that are coming to southeast Wisconsin.
Well, let's talk about the economy. On your website, you say that we need to restore fiscal discipline to the budget process while also continuing pro-growth policies to unleash the full strength of the American economy. What does that look like to you?
I think Washington has a taxing problem, not a spending. It has a spending problem, not a taxing problem. And so I look at what's going on in Washington and say we need to get our spending under control, and we need to keep a tax policy in place that encourages investment, which ultimately encourages higher wage jobs. I look at the tax reforms that were passed previously. I think that's a positive step in the right direction. I think that encourages investment, which ultimately leads to higher wages for workers here in southeast Wisconsin. I think the fact that we've got unemployment below 3%, we're at the beginning of starting to see higher wage jobs come into the area. We need to continue down that path and continue to put in economic policies that encourage investment, which ultimately leads to higher wage jobs. What we can't do is afford to take a step back to the failed economic policies of the past, and that's what I'm out talking to voters about every day.
You mentioned the tax cuts, and along with that, we have what some are calling a ballooning federal deficit. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell recently said the only way to lower that deficit would be to cut social safety net programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. That's something that Paul Ryan had talked about doing as well. Is that something that you're willing to accept?
As I look at Medicare and Social Security, those are promises we made to seniors. Those are promises we need to keep. There should be no changes in particular as it relates to individuals that are in retirement or approaching retirement age. As you look to that generation much further down, my generation and younger, it's an approach of how do we pull together a bipartisan review to determine how can we make these programs sustainable for future generations. But for the generation that's in retirement and approaching retirement age, we don't need to cut or negatively impact those individuals. Those are promises we made and promises we need to keep. And part of that is why I'm so focused on government spending across the board, is to make sure that our spending's in line so that we can honor that promise that we made to seniors, for those in particular in retirement now and approaching retirement age.
We're talking with Brian Stile, the Republican candidate in the 1st Congressional District, on The Morning Show as we continue our series of candidate interviews. Let's talk about health care. During the last session, we saw a failed attempt at repealing the Affordable Care Act, followed by changes to the law. In your view, what needs to happen with that law and with health care in general?
We need to lower the cost of health care. And so what the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare did was drive up the cost of health care and made health care less affordable and thus less accessible to hardworking families here in Wisconsin. What we need to do is work towards a program of health care that puts individuals and doctors in charge of the decision-making process so that they can increase quality and lower the cost of health care. I think that stands in stark contrast to my opponent, who supports a government takeover of healthcare called Medicare for All, in his words. And as I look at that program, that's going to drive up the cost of healthcare. And just to pay for that program alone, you'd have to, it would be a $32 trillion with a T dollar program. To conceptualize what that means, just to pay for that one program, you would have to double, that's double, all income and business taxes in the United States of America. That's a program we can't afford. And I think that would really decimate Medicare as we know it. It would make most people's private insurance that they receive from their employer illegal, and that's the wrong direction. What we need to do is stay focused on how do we lower the cost of health care, and you do that by putting patients and doctors in the forefront of the decision-making process.
How do patients with pre-existing conditions factor into all of this?
That's a great question, and there's a lot of confusion on that point. Individuals with pre-existing conditions need to be protected and need to be covered. I've been clear on that since day one. And so you can go in and address the disaster that is Obamacare, but still at the same time protect people with pre-existing conditions. So any changes to that law, first and foremost for me to earn my vote on that, we would need to protect individuals with pre-existing conditions. And then separate of that is how do you go in and address the cost structure that's driving up the cost of health care? And that's where I think we need to move away from a one-size-fits-all government answer and move into individuals and doctors making those health care decisions.
Bringing it back to Wisconsin, what do you think is one of the biggest issues affecting your district, and how would you work to tackle it in Congress?
In particular, I look at how do we prepare workers for the jobs of the future. What we're seeing in southeast Wisconsin, in particular along the I-94 corridor from the airport to the state line, is really significant job growth. And what we see now is a larger skills gap. We have more job openings than we have people that are unemployed. So that says we have a skills gap to make sure that individuals have the skills they need to be ready to go into the workforce to earn a higher wage. And so as I look at the federal government, using my background on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, there's a real opportunity to move the decision-making from Washington back to local educators, back to your local school board, back to the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, back to your technical college board. And as those individuals are able to make decisions best capable to prepare workers here in our economy, not bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., I think that's at the forefront of what needs to be at the next step now that we've got the economy moving along at the rate we do. We need to close this skills gap.
Well, this is your district is the district that we'll call Foxconn home, a company that received billions of dollars in state tax incentives to locate there. As a result, there are some mixed feelings about the company's presence in southeastern Wisconsin. So as the district's representative, what can you do to ensure that the state receives a good return on its investment?
We need to put in policies in place that encourage businesses to continue expanding and opening in this area and driving wages higher. And so what we're getting is competition for workers across southeast Wisconsin, and Foxconn's a big piece of that puzzle. And the result of that is we're starting to see the beginning of higher wages. And what we want to do is continue down that path where employers are fighting for the best workers, and what that will do is drive up the wages of those individuals. And as we see wage growth, we're going to see continued economic benefits for workers across the state. And so I think the more we put in place economic policies that encourage growth, encourage businesses to come to Wisconsin and invest here, that drives wage growth and drives job opportunities for workers and folks all across southeast Wisconsin. And to me, that's front and center of what needs to be done on behalf of workers here in Wisconsin.
We're just about out of time, Brian. America is a divided country right now. Congress is no exception to that. We've seen a lot of hyper-partisanship, votes strictly along party lines. What role do you see for a bipartisanship in Congress?
I think my background of having never run for office before, I've never run for office. The last time I ran for anything was in the seventh grade in middle school. So, I mean, I think there's an opportunity to take my private sector background and put it to work to get things done. Same way you approach that on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. There were folks that were appointed by Governor Walker and by Governor Doyle. And folks on the Board of Regents, we figured out how do we work together to put students first. If we took that same approach and applied it to Washington and said, how do we work together to get more done on behalf of the American people? I think there's a Wisconsin style of communication that I can bring to the table. And it's less about who gets credit. It's more about how do we get more done on behalf of the American people. And I think my private sector background combined with my work on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents really prepares me to be able to bring people together to the table to say, how do we get more done and how do we get less bickering going on in Washington?
Brian Steil is an attorney and serves on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. He's the Republican candidate in the race for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. Brian, thanks for joining us.
John, thanks for having me.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson.